Well, the edict came down, win with what you got. Love the one you're with. The cavalry ain't coming. If the Red Sox are going to get in the postseason, after all, they're going to have to roll with their own. To paraphrase, of all people, Michael Jackson, they're starting with the man in the mirror. Well, the Red Sox this series said to their reflection, we're not that good. Swept at home by the frugal, as always, Tampa Bay Rays. 1-8 for the year at home against those guys. The final at Fenway Thursday, 9-4. And now a trip to the Bronx up next. Let's have at it. This is Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your daily Sox podcast.
Boy, I wish I had better news for you, but it's four straight losses at Fenway now. The record is down to 59-51, and they're getting no closer to a playoff spot. The number of runs in these four losses, 9, 6, 8, and 9. So after all this time, the Red Sox are still a great cast in a bad movie. They are Ishtar. They are the Royal Tenenbaums. I could go on and on. Josh Lewin with you. And after a solid stretch that allowed the Red Sox that 5-2 record against the Rays and the Yankees a week ago, you've got Chris Sale, David Price, Porcello, and Cashner combining for a 9.5 ERA, which has seen them pitch around 21 innings combined. That's the group that's supposed to anchor this whole thing. And instead, everyone is wondering what the hell is going on and how do you beat the likes of Houston, which now has added Zach Greinke. They've got four starters with an ERA of 3.1 or under. And last time I checked, they played in a tough ballpark for pitchers. The three teams ahead of the Red Sox all made big deals in the hours before the trade deadline, July 31. The Indians with Yasiel Puig and Framil Reyes getting the boppers they really needed. The Rays brought in Jesus Aguilar, who had a nice game, by the way, against the Red Sox Thursday. Eric Sogard, who's just killed him, whether in Toronto or Tampa Bay this year. The A's, who we're not going to see again, unless maybe there's a wild card thing, they boosted their pitching, which they needed to do. They brought in Tanner Roark and Homer Bailey and got Jake Diekman for the bullpen. So just laying that out there and a 9-4 loss that just sucked the energy out of the ballpark again. Give you a couple good things, though. Mookie Betts a home run and a couple runs scored. 101 runs scored for Mookie now, fastest to get to the century mark since Ted Williams in 1949. That season for Ted Williams, for those that don't know, Teddy Ballgame, 150 runs scored and 159 batted in, which is ridiculous. 162 walks against 48 strikeouts. I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but I'm always fascinated by this. Ted Williams never had a 200 hit season, not even the year he hit 406. He walked so often, he never had more than 194 hits in a season. We're talking about a two-time Triple Crown winner here, and he just missed the third. And a quick did you know, because I always like giving you a did you know, just to kind of distract you after a loss. The 2 years that Ted Williams won the Triple Crown, he did not win MVP. This is true. Ted Williams in 1941 hit 406 and was not MVP. They gave it to DiMaggio because he had the 56-game hit streak. Although, did you know, Ted Williams actually out-hit DiMaggio batting average for batting average during those 56 games. And, got to throw this in, for the 406 batting average, today, when a player hits a sac fly, you're probably aware he is not charged with an at-bat. And it was different back then. Williams supposedly hit 14 sac flies that year. So with today's math, those at-bats not counting against his average, we would not be talking about a 406 season for Ted Williams, but a 419. Just putting that out there. Let the wind take the pollen where it may. Just trying to give you something to smile about. J.D. Martinez, usually very good against the Rays, 467 batting average against them coming in, had a quiet night Thursday, but Benintendi, after a quiet Wednesday, a very noisy Thursday, went 3-for-4 with three doubles, makes Benny 21 for his last 42. He had been 6 for his previous 42. That brings us to Xander Bogaerts. Forget three doubles. How about two jacks? Each of them exactly 383 feet, both to left, gives him a career high 25 now for the season. There's still 50 plus games to go. And since we're on a kind of a history kick here, I put it out there where Xander ends up in the spectrum of greatness among Boston shortstops. If there's a Mount Rushmore for now, with apologies to John Valentin, it's probably Pesky, Petrucelli, Nomar, and Joe Cronin. Joe Cronin, if you don't know, is the reason number four is retired. 300 hitter, spent about a quarter of a century in a Red Sox uniform as a player or manager, was even the general manager for a bit. Xander, probably not ever going to be general manager, although whatever he wants to do, he's bright enough he can do it. And of late, the 20 games since the All-Star break, he's hitting 352, OPS of 1,050. Xander's not a problem at all. And I see significance when you've got eight homegrown position players on the field at once. Sometimes you can run out an infield of Devers, Bogarts, Chavis, and Travis, an outfield of Benintendi, Bradley, and Betts, put Vasquez behind the plate. That's pretty impressive. But always having to out-hit their pitching, that is unimpressive. And just to kind of reinforce that, it's a 13-42 record for the Sox when they score five or more runs. Last year, that was a 46-46 record, best in baseball. This year, they are 25th. Let's talk Andrew Cashner, who took the loss in this thing. And, you know, 15 of his last 16 starts, it had been two walks or fewer. Thursday, he walked two batters, eight batters in, one with the bases loaded. As an Oriole, guy had been 9-3 with a 3.8. As a Red Sox, 1-3 with an 8.3. Two of his four starts, he's failed to strike out even three batters. He had five walks against one strikeout in this thing against Tampa Bay. Five home runs allowed in his first four games in a Boston uniform. It was zero home runs allowed in his last five games in a Baltimore uniform. Let's hear from him after the game. Cashner speaking through that big, bushy, blonde 1890s beard.
Yeah, you know, I can't tell you the last time I walked five guys. Wasn't very good. I didn't command the ball very well. But, you know, if I'm able to get out of that six, you know, I think I give us a chance to win.
Yeah, after you did study then, how frustrating was it to, you know, have that kind of setback in it?
Yeah, I mean, especially after Bogey hits that home run and bring it 4-3, or is it 4-3, I think? You know, you got to go out there and shut them down, and I just didn't do it.
In the second, did you see anything in common to how you were missing, a certain pitch you were missing on, anything like that?
No, I don't think it was just the second. I thought it was all night. I didn't really command my fastball, and that's what makes me good, and I just got to get back to commanding my fastball.
After you guys played so well, you know, last week against Tampa and the Yankees, how disappointing is it to see this series?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, you know, today, you know, I tried to give us a chance to win. I didn't do that. You know, we got the Yankees coming up for four. So, I mean, I think you just look at trying to win tomorrow. I mean, you can't really look at the whole schedule. You just try to win each day.
You obviously won't pitch this weekend. You're not scheduled to. But in terms of urgency, just with the standings where they are, how important is this series coming up?
Yeah, I mean, I think every series is important coming up, not just this one. I mean, I think this series is more important than the Yankees coming up. But it's one of those things we'll focus on Friday and have two on Saturday and one on Sunday.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, you hope it turns around for Andrew Cashner. That's all you can say at this point. He's the cavalry. I mean, nobody else joined the ranks. It was an early trade, so we don't really consider it a trade deadline deal, but that was the guy brought in to restore order. Speaking of orders, bottom third of the Red Sox order Thursday, Moreland, Chavis, and Sandy Leon, 0-12, 7 strikeouts. In fact, the whole team, one walk, 13 strikeouts against a guy just up from AAA, Brendan McKay, and a bullpen that's supposed to be having issues. Once again, 9-4 the final, as the Sox end 1-8 at Fenway against Tampa Bay. That's a team they're now 3.5 games behind, and suddenly those four games they've got at their place in a month and a half could be very pivotal. Alex Cora talking to the media after the game.
We've been talking about this the whole time, and we need to get better. And it sounds like I say the same thing for more than 100 days. You know, and you know, we trust the group, we trust these guys, but we have to execute. We talked about it yesterday. We can talk about adjustments and attacking guys and all that, but at the end, we have to go out there and do it. You know, today there was a lot of traffic. We battled through it. We got a ground ball. We didn't turn to a play. and then Darwinson with the wild pitches and all that. But I think it was 7 or 8 walks, and can't do that. We don't keep the ball in ballpark, and it was a rough one. It started like a great homestand, and it didn't finish that way. And we got a big challenge coming up this weekend. And if we're going to be involved in whatever talk for the playoffs, it better start tomorrow.
You've mentioned, you know, on multiple occasions, we know where we are. You know, when you lose these games against the team that's sitting in front of you, is it starting to kind of mount?
Last week it didn't feel that way. I mean, we went to Tampa and we played great. And we won the first 3 games against the Yankees. And all of a sudden, you know, we take 3 steps back. So that can't happen. It can't happen. And obviously, it's August 1st, 2nd, whatever it is. And we don't like where we at. And it seems like right now, we're not, the last 3 days, it wasn't a great brand of baseball. And, that's what happens right there. You know, they came here, but they beat us, 7 out of 9, or 8 out of 9. We got to be better at home. We got to be better against the division. We got to be better against everybody. And we're not doing that right now.
I guess this can always be said when a team has a losing streak or isn't playing particularly well, but would you say that the team has been flat in this series?
We didn't execute, I always said that offense is the one that brings energy. And, we score a few, they came back, they got ahead, we scored, they came back, and it's one of those, it didn't look good. There were a few plays that we don't play that way. And we saw it throughout the week, throughout the series. And we'll talk to them, we'll address it, because that can't happen. We got to be better, And it's not that you have to fake energy, because you're still in the big leagues, and there's not too many people in the world that play in the big leagues right now. It's only 750 of them, and I think the effort has to be there every day. You got to go through slumps and through struggles, but there's a few things that you can control, and it's the effort, And there were a few things that effort-wise, it didn't look good out there.
On the subject of the offense, you had that stretch where it seemed like you'd really broken through with the runners in scoring position. And tonight, you have Benintendi leading off 3 different innings with doubles, and he never doesn't come close to scoring. But what do you think has changed there?
We didn't put them in play. It happened on the first game of the series. We had made a second, no outs, and we didn't get the guy over twice. And one of them swinging and missing, and in those situations, you have to put them on play, and they know it. They made some pitches, but at the same time, we know we're good hitters. We're good offensively, and I don't know how many strikeouts today and between yesterday and today, but we're not a team that swings and miss that much, and it seems like the last few days we did.
All right, there you have it from AC. One other thing to point out, just to try to angle it towards a positive. Darwinson Hernandez, still fascinating. Another strikeout for his 1 out achieved in this game out of the bullpen. Has 26 strikeouts in 12 innings. If he could stop walking people, that would be front page news, this kid, Darwinson Hernandez. Heath Hembree, another struggle. Just has not looked the same since coming off the injured list. Got to deal with that at some point, too. But let's try to keep it positive. The Yankees are up next. The Yankees second in the league in home runs, only getting 1 from Giancarlo Stanton. But thanks to their depth, they've got one of the best records in the league, of course, best run differential in the league. They have lost more than 1,600 days to the injured list. It's about twice as many as the next most afflicted club. Their opening day left fielder, third baseman, first baseman, shortstop. They've combined to play about 50 games this year. Luke Voit now goes on the IL with a sports hernia injury, as opposed to like a musical theater hernia injury. Yankees, we mentioned, second in the league in home runs, and against a Red Sox pitching staff that's been giving them up of late, that does not bode well. Friday, Eduardo Rodriguez 13-4 against James Paxton 5-6. The Sox have crushed it this year when Eddie's on the mound. He is one of only 5 major league pitchers with 13 or more wins this season. Red Sox 17-3 in his last 20 starts. So that's good. That the winning percentage of 867 in that time, the best in Major League Baseball. Paxton is a disappointing 4.72 ERA guy for the Yankees. Of course, their fans are still surprised they didn't grab Mad Bum or Robbie Ray or someone at the deadline, but then again, the Red Sox were zombies in that department as well. And sadly, zombies on the field that entire series. Again, 9-4, the unhappy final on Thursday night. We'll have a recap of the Yankees series for you Sunday night into Monday morning. Signing off until then. This is Josh Lewin. Thank you very, very much for tuning in. Don't forget, if you haven't yet, by the way, to subscribe to this thing. You can do that, of course, on iTunes. Give us that 5-star Uber rating because the bosses seem to like it when you do. Anything less than 4 stars, just keep it to yourself. We would appreciate that very much. Take care. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.